KNOM update news. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. 2014 Iditarod Trail Awards banquet was held yesterday at the Nome Rec Center. Hobo Jim entertained the crowd as they ate prime rib, shrimp, strawberries, and cake. And MC of the evening, John Hanlon, presented awards earned by those who raced, traversed, and survived the toughest race they've entered, Iditarod 42. As mushers received their finisher's belt buckle and finisher's cup, the crowd last night heard stories of the trail, the brutal section of the gorge and the burn, the lack of snow from Old Woman to the finish line in Nome, the wind, the glare ice. Third place finisher Mitch Seavey said the most challenging portion of the trail was when the winds hit them heading to safety, but he said despite the tough trail, his dogs seemed to enjoy it.
And I would have to say that I think Allie Zirkel and Dallas Seavey are among those toughest mushers I've ever raced with, and my hat's off to them. I just am never going to get used to losing to women and children.
And Allie Zirkel, who again placed second, spoke of the morning of highs and lows the day she finished the 2014 Iditarod. She told the crowd she almost did not make it to safety that morning.
I guess I always knew I was going to make it, but I'll be honest with you, I was that close to not making it to safety. And when I pulled into safety, I looked at the clipboard that all mushers look at when they sign in.
And she did not see Jeff King's name on that clipboard. King had left White Mountain an hour ahead of Zirkel. She said she thought the worst of thoughts, not seeing his name on the clipboard.
About 10 minutes later, Jeff walked in the door, and I gave Jeff a huge hug. And Jeff and I aren't friends. We're not good friends or anything. I wouldn't sit and have a cup of coffee with Jeff King and talk about how his day was, but I was pretty happy to see Jeff.
King scratched the 2014 Iditarod 22 miles from the finish line at safety, and all the while, the eventual champion was oblivious to the drama that unfolded that morning. Dallas Seavey pulled into safety thinking King had already won.
I had seen the clipboard there. It had Allie's name on it. Who bothers to look if they actually sign in and out? I did not see Jeff's name on it, but I also knew that the checkpoint had no power and they were struggling just to be able to take care of us and get us through the checkpoint. And they had passed me on Snow Machine on the way to safety. So I figured, shoot, Jeff's moving so fast, they probably missed him. He probably went right on through the checkpoint before they showed up. Didn't think anything more of it. My only focus was getting me and my team to the finish line.
And CV made it to the finish line in first place in record time.
I think I may be the first person to make it to Nome first and be the last person to know that I won the Iditarod.
49 mushers finished the 2014 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. All 49 finishers made it into Nome before the awards banquet last night. And a look at the awards. Mike Williams Jr. was voted for the Sportsmanship Award by fellow finishers. Aaron Burmeister earned the Mushers' Choice Award, voted most inspirational. ENIAC's Richie Deal was the most improved, finishing 14th, besting his 2013 36th place finish. And four-time champion Martin Boozer won the Humanitarian Award. And health groups took advantage of Iditarod visitors last week by holding a vaccination drive at the Nome Rec Center. Bobby Joe Connor is a nurse working with Village Health Services Immunization Program out of Norton Sound Regional Hospital. She says the annual Lonnie O'Connor Iditarod Basketball Tournament was an excellent opportunity to raise awareness.
And I found this an opportunity to have lots of people from our region traveling here, not only to participate as players, but also to attend and support their families. And it also brings people in from Nome to come and watch their family and friends. So I saw that as an opportunity to get some more exposure out there and make vaccines accessible for people that would like to get caught up on their vaccines while they're here.
The rec center charges groups to rent booths during the week-long tournament, and Village Health Services, the Division of Public Health, and the camp department all share the costs. Even though the organizations are distinct, their goals are more or less the same. checking people's vaccination histories, providing shots to prevent communicable diseases, and gathering health data about the region. The vaccine drive also capitalized on the Iditarod's connection with the 1925 serum run, in which dog teams were used to help deliver vaccines for diphtheria. Along with influenza, diphtheria was one of the main diseases that decimated native populations across Alaska in the 19th and 20th centuries. Connor stresses that while it's easy to think of those health dangers as being confined to the past, they're still a very real public health concern.
The most important thing is just, I think, is talking to people about the, the real fear of that these diseases are still present in the world, and they can still come into the state of Alaska, into our region, and do a lot of devastation.
The vaccine drive had some high-profile help this year. Iditarod mushers Ali Zirkel, Martin Boozer, and Robert Sorley all carried serum samples with them along the trail to help raise awareness. The state of Alaska has sued the federal government over rejecting Alaska's exploration plan for the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The state last year proposed a plan aimed at determining the refuge's oil and gas potential. Governor Sean Parnell's administration argued under the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, the Interior Secretary must approve an exploration plan if it meets necessary requirements. A regional fish and wildlife director found, and the agency's director affirmed, that the authorization for an exploration program on the refuge's coastal plain expired in 1987. The lawsuit disputes that. Parnell said the state sued to ensure Americans have a chance to learn about the region's resources. The Alaska Wilderness League's Cindy Shogun said it's time for the state of Alaska to take no for an answer and move on. And with the possibility of building an expensive prison within 3 years staring them in the face, the Alaska Senate unanimously passed a sweeping crime bill Friday in the hopes of stemming Alaska's rising inmate population. The measure's sponsor, Senate Majority Leader John Coghill of Fairbanks, says the bill was a bipartisan effort. Alaska has one of the highest incarceration rates in the nation, costing state residents $58,000 a year to house one inmate. Coghill says just putting people in jail does not make Alaska safer. Two-thirds of the state's inmate population is behind bars for nonviolent crimes. We're coming up on 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.